We're going to be in the book of John this morning, if you would please, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And while you're turning, Brother Way has mentioned to me that he wants to give you, those of you, each family who want one, a calendar, an Israel calendar. It's got pictures. Are these pictures that you took, that you and your wife and your family? Okay. It's got, each month has a different scene from Israel, River Jordan, etc. Okay. And so take this. He has one he wants to give per each family that wants one. Okay. So this I've got one. He's also got some new prayer cards. That's obviously to remind us to pray for him and his ministry. So get around after church this evening or this afternoon, whatever time I finish preaching, and and grab a couple of those, or one each. Okay, one prayer card and one calendar. Okay, let's stand together if you would please. I'm begin reading here in John chapter 5, verse 1. Y'all pray for my voice and that God will give me grace. John 5, verse 1 says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then," by the way, notice that whosoever, amen. "Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." I like that. We have a God in heaven that has a gospel plan of salvation for whosoever and whatsoever. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Verse 5. "A certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately," amen, "immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath." I'll leave off reading there. Look in verse 6 again. "When Jesus saw him lie, knew that he had been there a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the good day you've given us already, the good time in Sunday school, the good fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet spirit. I pray now, Lord God, you would help me now, that you'd keep my voice up, my throat lubricated, Lord, help me to speak clearly. God, most of all, fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that each one of us would be would listen on purpose, that your Spirit would do the work in every heart that's necessary here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wilt thou be made whole? And then Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible tells us that Jesus came, he specifically said to Zacchaeus that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And what we have here in John chapter 5 is Jesus going up to Jerusalem and with his eyes open, amen, listen, always looking for that which was lost, always looking for someone who needed his help. It's amazing when you study the life of Christ how busy he was, how busy he stayed from the time his ministry started, 3.5 years, to the cross, amen, how busy he was. It was every single day. The Bible says foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He was a busy man. He was a very tired, weary man. But listen, he always had his eyes open for someone that needed his help. And we ought to be thankful for that, amen. We ought to be thankful. He came to this pool here. He came to the pool by the sheep gate there at Jerusalem. And the pool was used to clean sheep that they came into the city. And before they were offered up as sacrifices, that pool was a pool that they would clean their sheep in. And that's why it was called the sheep gate. But the pool was now called Bethesda. The word Bethesda means house of mercy. The house of mercy. The pool had five porches around it. Each porch was filled with a great multitude of sick people. That's what the Bible says in verse 3. In these lay a great multitude. On these five porches around this pool, I'm sure Brother Way has seen this, amen, but they were just multitudes of people who were sick. They were incurable. They were sick. They lay around these pools waiting for an angel to stir up the water. They were waiting for the angel to come stir up the water, and the first person to step into that water was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Amen. And so completely cured. Now, there was a certain man that we're reading about here in chapter 5, verse 5. A certain man was there. We don't know this man's name, but Jesus knew that man. Jesus saw that man. That man had his infirmity for 38 years. Now, I don't think he was by that pool for 38 years, but here's what we're seeing is a man who had been sick for a long time, and for a while now, he had been laying there trying to get into that water. Jesus saw him in verse number 6 and asked him the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Jesus asked a question here, and I'm going to tell you this question has stirred up several questions in my mind. And I'm just going to be honest with you. When I read the Bible, don't you sometimes when you read the Bible, don't you question why? Don't you question like, "Lord, help me understand this," or "Lord, there's something here I'm not seeing." You ought to do that, by the way. It's a good sort of hat. I'm not talking about questioning God. I'm not talking about being a critic of the Bible, but just trying to learn more about the Bible, okay? He asked a question here, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Now, the first question that comes to my mind when I read this is, why did Jesus ask this man a question that has such an obvious answer? Think about this. Obviously, it seems to me anyway, the answer is obvious. Of course the man wanted to be made whole. He was laying there for that reason. Jesus knew that he had been there a long time in that condition. That's what the Bible says. And he had been there, and Jesus knew that in verse 6. Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case or in that condition. Now, Jesus knew that. And that's why he was by the pool. Why did he ask him such an obvious question? I don't have the answer. I just some food for thought this morning to kind of thought-provoking questions maybe to make you study your Bible, study a little bit of background here. Maybe there were other people there that didn't really want to be made whole. Is that possible? I mean, is it possible that there were other folks that were just laying there and they didn't really try? Notice what the Bible says here in verse 7. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool while I am coming," in verse 7. In other words, he was trying, amen. He did indeed try. He was trying to get to that water. Maybe there were other folks who didn't want it anymore. Maybe there were other folks who had given it up. Maybe there were other people who just wanted to be around the action. You know people like that, amen? They just want to be around where the action is. Maybe there were folks who just got used to being in that condition. There's a lot of people out there in the world today. You know, you can get used to being in the worst condition possible, and you see somebody think, "There's no way I could live like that." Well, you tell me, then how are they living like that? Yeah. Because your flesh can get used to something as atrocious as you can imagine, but your flesh can get used to it. Amen. We've got to be real careful to understand. Not everybody, for some reason or another, not everybody that was there wanted to be made whole. Not everybody that was there. Maybe they were just receiving the attention. Was more that they wanted than to be made whole. Yeah. Maybe they liked the pity that you know, when people walked by, they saw poor people, poor little sick folks, poor pity. You know, like the guys out standing on the corner, you know, "We'll work for food." Do they really want to work?
Yeah, right.
Do they really want to work? Amen. I'll say amen for you. Do they really want to work, or do they just want some free handouts? Understand something. I don't know. Jesus does. But there's some folks out there today that are acting like they want help, but they don't. And apparently, Jesus knew this man did. So he asked him a question, I think, to bring out the obvious. A second question, I think, that maybe comes to my mind anyway. Why did Jesus only ask this man that question?
Yeah.
Right? Did this man look to be more sincere? Maybe he wanted it worse than anyone else.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Jesus, the Bible says in verse 6 again, Jesus knew that he had been now a long time. How do you know that, folks? He knows everything in our hearts and our minds. He knows every second of our life from the beginning, from conception to the end, everything about us. He knows.
Amen.
He knows. Amen. He wanted it worse than somebody else did. Maybe God just knew that. Maybe he had been there longer than anyone else. Maybe his condition was worse than anyone else's. The truth is, we just don't know for sure. We just know that Jesus found this one man. Among multitudes, the Bible says, multitudes that were laying there by those pools. Amen. I'm glad Jesus found me. among multitudes. You understand how many people there are all over this world, amen? 7 billion or something. It's ridiculous how many people are all over this world, amen? But God found me, amen, among the multitudes. He came to me, and I'm glad that he came to me. I'm glad that he gave me a chance to be made whole, amen? I'm glad that Jesus found me. I don't know about everybody else. I know that he wants them to be saved too, but I'm glad that for the day that he came to me personally and said, hey, wilt thou be made whole? That's a blessing. I still remember that day. I don't want everyone to forget that day. Amen. I have another question though. This is one that maybe you hadn't thought about. How did all this start? I mean, who got into the water first? Who was the first person? They didn't just all start laying there by multitudes. Somebody had to start this thing.
Right.
Like, who first ate the first mushroom and said, this is good?
Yeah, come on.
Who ate the first onion and said, this is good? We're going to put these on hamburgers. Who ate the first piece of broccoli? Who ate the first carrot? You understand carrots that grow in the ground? Potatoes in the ground? I mean, who thought, let's pull this out, let's eat this. Let's cook this thing and make soup. Does anybody think like me? Am I the only crazy person? Amen. Somebody had to begin this process. Somebody had to know to get into the water and when to get into the water.
Right.
And think about it with me, right? And think about this. Okay, who was the first person? We'll never know. I mean, I guess you could probably study and theologians and all that, scholars, but they don't really know. I mean, the fact of the matter is God didn't tell us. Amen. He didn't tell us. That's not the important part of this story. I'll get to the important part here in a minute. But what I'm saying is this. Not only did they, okay, so the first person that got into that water, and the water got stirred up, and they got healed. Now, I don't know what they were doing in that water. Maybe they were bathing. Maybe they were, you know, because they were homeless and they were bathing. And the water, God came down to stir up the water and they were healed. But here's this. Then they went to tell somebody else.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Then they went to tell somebody else. How else were all these people going to know about this?
Yeah.
Somebody started telling somebody else, hey, there's a pool of water over here. I don't know how it happened. I don't know exactly what God did. I know the doctors couldn't heal me. I know the medicine couldn't heal me. I know I was never going to get better. But something happened in that water one day, and I'm completely whole. Amen. And they started telling somebody.
Yeah.
Amen. They started telling people. It maybe went something like this. Hey, I was sick for a long time. You know, I was bathing over there in that pool, and the water started stirring up, and I got out, and I was healed. Now, think about the other person they're talking to. Yeah, right. Sure you did. Sure you did. You're crazy. But somebody believed him.
Yeah, man.
Hey, listen to me today. It's kind of like what soul winning's all about, isn't it? Hey, listen. I was talking to a young man on Wednesday over there at the UNT, and I think I mentioned him on Wednesday night. And boy, he was so intelligent. He was so educated. I don't know. I think he was like in second or third year in college. You know, he had everything, had the world by the horns. He knew everything. He wasn't rude. He wasn't cantankerous or grumpy or trying to. He wasn't trying to start a fight or an argument or anything. But he knew so much about evolution, and he knew so much about why the Bible was wrong. He knew so much about why the Bible. He was such a good, informed critic. That he was absolutely and utterly confused and miserable. And I told him, he came to me, I was preaching out there, and he came to me and said, how do you know what you're preaching is true? What's the proof that what you're preaching is true, that Jesus is the answer? How do we not know that all of this just came about? And he was so intelligent. He was so educated. He was so filled with the theology, I mean, the theory of evolution, that he literally believed his ancestors were apes. I said, listen to me. I said, his name was Richard. I said, Richard, listen to me. You're too intelligent to believe that. He said, you can tell me what you want to tell me, but I'm not related to a monkey. He was so educated, and listen, he was well spoken. He was using words that I thought, well, if I knew what that meant, I might be able to interject there. But I just listened to him, you know. But the fact of the matter is, the bottom line, he was miserable. He was completely confused, utterly confused, and he finally said, "How do you know that that's real?" I said, "Listen to me, Richard. I don't need to prove anything to you. The best proof of the fact that the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ is true is me.
Amen.
I'm a changed person. Everything about me is different now. I'm a new creature." I quoted scripture to him. "It may be in Christ, amen. He's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm completely new. Nothing about me is the same as it was before. Jesus Christ has changed me completely. Everything is made new." And he said, "Well, that's not proof." I said, "That is exactly proof. He didn't believe me." And he said, "I've got a whole shelf of books about the Bible." I said, "Richard, listen to me. You need to stop reading books about the Bible. You need to read the Bible. Amen. You need to get the Bible. See, listen to me. The Bible says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them," listen, "that believe not." In other words, he wouldn't believe what he read. Therefore, the devil had blinded his mind. And so now he can't see it. I said, "Listen to me, Richard, you just need to read the Bible and understand it is proof. Jesus Christ is alive. He lives in my heart. And everything is different now." And all I did was tell him, amen, "I found the water and I'm new. Everything's clean. I'm made whole." But he didn't believe me. However, the first person that found this water, y'all, and my imagination does this sometimes. Y'all bear with me, amen. There had to be a first person. And that first person had to tell somebody that they were cleansed. And somebody had to believe them. And so they went over there and sat down by that pool and they waited. I'm going to see if this is real. I don't know how long they had to wait, Miss Way. Amen. How long did they have to wait until that happened? It's amazing. But here's the thing. Somebody believed him. Somebody else got healed. And then the word began to spread. Isn't that incredible? The word began to spread. Listen to me. There really is a pool over there. There really is a way. Listen, I had this. I had cancer. I had this. I had that. And I couldn't walk. I couldn't see. He couldn't hear. He couldn't. But everybody's getting healed over there. It doesn't matter what's wrong with them. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter where they're from. Hey, everybody that gets in that water, they're completely healed. And boy, the word began to spread. And now there's multitudes laying all over those pools waiting for that water to get stirred up. Listen, questions. I don't know how that happened, but somebody was convincing enough. Soul winners, listen to me. Don't worry about the ones that don't believe you. Don't worry about the ones that don't listen to you. Don't worry about the ones that are too educated even for God. Amen. The Bible even says, professing themselves to be wise, become fools. And that young man, Richard, was as nice as he could be. And he was very educated and intelligent. But he was a fool. He was a fool in God's sight because he would not believe the Word of God. Don't worry about the ones that don't believe. Understand something. You just keep telling the ones that will. Sooner or later, somebody's going to believe you. Come to Christ. And by the way, if you've been doing it long enough, you've had one or two of those. Amen. You'll see that that does indeed work. Somebody had to tell somebody else about this pool. Now, I have another question, though, and I'm going to spend a little more time on this question. Last question here, number four. How did these people really get healed in the first place? I want to answer this question by telling you some different things that they did not happen, okay? Number one, the water did not heal anyone. The water did not heal anyone. There is so much confusion today about water baptism. There is so much confusion today about getting baptized. Many people believe, many churches right now are teaching people and making people believe that water baptism is salvation. And when you ask a person today, in America anyway, and probably around the world, but especially in America with all the charismatics and all the non-denominational garbage that's out there, when you ask a person, I bet 9 out of 10 of them will tell you, "Yeah, if you're saved," I say, "Yeah, I got baptized. I got baptized when this is the state or this is the state." And I said, "Listen, that's not what I ask you. Understand something. Water never saved anyone. Water never saved anyone's soul. Amen. Water has never cleansed anyone's diseases. Amen. Listen to me. It may cleanse their body. It may cleanse their skin. It may help them for a little while, but it never will completely take away the disease. The disease is not on the surface, you understand. It's in the body. The disease is in the blood. The disease is something that's internal. Water cannot do that. Water has never cleansed anyone's soul. Water has never cleansed anyone's diseases. Water did not cleanse these people. It never has. It never will. Get it straight today. The water did not heal these people. How were they healed?
Amen.
Number two, the second thing that did not happen is their working did not heal them.
That's right.
See, these folks, especially this man, he says in verse 7, he says, I have no man when the waters trouble to put me into the pool. While I am coming, look, another steppeth down before me. There was a mad brawl for that pool of water when they saw it stirring. It was a free-for-all. I mean, it was first come, first serve. You better, the survival of the fittest kind of thing. I mean, they're pushing. Can you just imagine? They're pushing people out of the way. I don't know how lame people can push people out, but they have other people carrying them, and they're pushing people out of the way. Understand something. There's a real hard fight going on down there by the pool to get into that water. Can I say something to you though? They're fighting, they're jockeying position, and they're soliciting people, hey, will you come help me get into that water? You know, they were consumed with getting into that water. That was their work. Understand something though. That didn't save anybody. That didn't cure anybody. That didn't cleanse anybody. It's not possible. That was a work that they were doing. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You understand something? Work cannot be the method of salvation, or else Jesus Christ is dead in vain. We ran into another group of some Catholic young men or Protestant young men or something, and they tried to tell us out there at the campus that day, they tried to tell us that you had to eat the sacrament of the wafer and the wine that the Catholic offers you, and then you had to eat it to be saved, and then you had to keep eating it to keep yourself saved. And we told them again and again, I said, listen to me, that's a work that you do. That's a work that you are doing. That is a work, listen, that anybody can do. That is not the gospel message of salvation. Amen. That is not, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. Understand something, there's a lot of questions that come up in my mind, amen, when I read this kind of story. And I'm trying to figure out, just kind of get a deeper understanding. But the people are going to look at that story and they're going to think, hey, water save them. Water cleanse them. Their hard work. The one that worked the hardest got there, they got healed. Listen, that's not. All of that's a smokescreen, if you will. All of that is just weeds. Don't get lost in the weeds.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is the true vine. Don't get lost in the weeds. The water did not save these people. The water did not heal these people. The working for their to get to that water. Boy, a lot of people are working a lot harder than the Independent Baptists are. We talked about that in Sunday school, and it ties completely together with Sunday school. A lot of people are working out there to get to heaven, and those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, those of us who have been given the everlasting life, amen, we're sitting on our thumbs. We're not serving the Lord at all. We're not doing anything to make a difference in anybody's life. Listen to me, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Awake to righteousness, the Bible says, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people today who've been saved, born again. They've been to that water. They've been cleansed. They've been made whole, and they're not telling anybody.
Yeah, come on. Praise God.
Right. They're not telling anybody. Right. Ask yourself this question. I'll ask you this question. You don't have to answer me. Who's the last person you personally told about Jesus?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. If you're happy in the Lord today, then you can remember that last person.
Amen.
If you're just kind of, you probably don't remember.
Yeah.
You may not have told anybody. Understand something. If there was such a blessed hope for everybody, no matter what their disease was, if there was such a blessed hope, if there was really a pool of water like this, let's just say there was a literal pool of water right out here in the yard somewhere. And let's just say that God used that, but let's just say that that you would tell people. I mean, if you were starving and really hungry and dying of hunger, and you found a free food pantry, would you not tell the next hungry person you saw? Sure you would. If you had the cure to cancer, amen, and no doctor could do anything about it, but God somehow gave you the cure and you were able to give it to somebody else, would you not do it?
Yeah.
Well, don't you think that we're doing a sore disgrace to the name of Christ when we keep to ourselves the saving power of the gospel? Because it does cure cancer. It is the cure to cancer, folks. Amen. Let that dawn on you for a second. It is the cure. We do have the cure to cancer. We have the cure to any and every disease, just like God said here. Whatsoever ailed them, God was able to cure them. Somebody's got to tell them. There's a lot of people working to do good things, try to earn money. They don't understand that that work is not going to save them. Can I say this to you? Another thing that did not heal them was their desire, their wanting to. You understand, these folks all badly wanted to get to that water. Again, they're pushing each other out of the way. Think about this. Every time they saw someone else get healed, they'd been laying there for weeks. And they tried, and they saw somebody get ahead of them, like this man, and somebody get out cleansed. And they thought, man, their desire got greater. Some of them got discouraged, no doubt, but their desire got greater. They wanted it worse and worse. They were more zealous, more determined to get there. Every time they saw someone else get healed, every day that went by, their desire got stronger. Every day, I can just imagine, they must have inched and inched as close as they could possibly get to that water without piling up on top of each other. Their desire was, I need to get to that water. I need it badly. I badly want to be cleansed. I know that that water, I know that that stirring, I know that whatever that's happening over there can make me whole. Listen to me. That did not ever heal anybody. It never can. Understand something. That's the beginning of our healing. That was the beginning of your salvation, is when you understood, hey, I'm not well. They weren't laying there by that pool because they thought they were healthy. I wonder how many people were sick and walked by that pool because they didn't think they needed help. Hey, listen to me. It was the beginning of their healing. They had to come to a realization. They had to admit, I am not healthy. I am not well. Amen. Are you listening to me this morning? That's the beginning of salvation. You have to come to a place, you and me both have to come to a place where we understand, I am not able to change me.
Yeah.
I cannot fix me.
Amen.
I cannot make myself who I know that I'm not right. There's a big whole lot of problems with me. And listen, it's amazing how many times today, you know, when I get sick, like I am now, amen, I don't want to admit it. I think, well, that's just, you know, I don't want to admit it. I'm just gonna make myself worse. Mind over matter and all that stuff. But understand something. Sooner or later, you just have to wake up and realize, man, I'm sick.
Yeah.
I'm not healthy.
Yeah.
And then you start doing something about it. Amen. Then you start doing something about it. You hopefully do the right thing. But you know, you can want it all day long. You can want to be healthy all day long, but if you don't do something about it, it's not going to change.
Right.
It's not going to change. You try to do something, the wrong thing, listen to me, and you come up empty every time.
Yeah. Amen.
You take a medicine that doesn't apply to your sickness, you can take that the rest of your life. And by the way, that's what doctors are doing, aren't they? Prescribing all kinds of things to people just so they can get paid from the pharmaceutical companies. And people are taking 45 different types of medicines. I mean, come on, really? Do we need 45 different kinds of medicines to take every morning and every night? The doctors are getting rich, the pharmaceuticals are getting rich, and people are dying with chemical poisoning from cancer. Amen. I'll say it for you. It's not that they don't want to get healed. They're just taking the wrong things. They're getting duped by these quacks. Amen. But these folks wanted to be healed, but that wasn't enough. These folks were working to get themselves healed. That wasn't enough. The water that they did get into, amen, when they finally made it there, that did not heal them. You say, preacher, well, that's what the Bible says. No, you're missing something here. You're missing it. It wasn't the water. It wasn't their working. It wasn't even their desire, their wanting. Understand, look in verse 4 again, and I'm done. Verse 4. The Bible says, for an angel went, notice these next two words, went down. Well, if he went down, he had to be up.
Right.
If he went down, he had to be above it. If he went down, he had to come from above. Are you with me?
Yeah.
An angel is a messenger of God.
Yeah.
An angel came down from above, from heaven. Who's in heaven, folks? Amen. God Almighty.
Yes.
An angel went down at a certain season. Understand, it wasn't the water. It wasn't the working. It wasn't the wanting. It was the wonderful grace of God. Hallelujah. That's what saved these people. That's what healed these people. It's the exact same thing today. Amen. Are you listening to me? God made a way for these people to be healed. Then they started telling other people about that pool. And then before you knew it, there was multitudes waiting to get into that pool. But it wasn't the water, amen. It wasn't the working. It wasn't the waiting. It wasn't the wanting. It was the wonderful grace of God.
Yes.
You understand, they could have gone and gotten a lot of other pools of water.
Oh.
They could have found some other water somewhere, amen. I don't know why God chose that. It doesn't matter. I don't know why God chose that. Well, it doesn't matter. But it was God that healed these folks. It was the wonderful grace of God. God stirred up the water. God waited to see who would believe that His grace was sufficient. Look in verse 8. Verse 8 says, again, John chapter 5, verse 8. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. Now, wait a minute. No water. No water. No working. Wanting, yes, desire, but he'd wanted it for a long time. That's proof right there, folks. It's not the water. It's the power of God. Can I say something to you? I understand this is not literal salvation, but this is two different things I want to make application and we'll be done. This is a perfect application. Jesus saves sinners by healing their hearts.
Amen.
By healing not their physical diseases, but their spiritual souls.
Amen.
Ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. But also I want you to understand something. There are some sick Christians today. Sick Christians today who are still looking for anything and everything except for the one who's able to immediately make it all better. See, Jesus is the embodiment of the grace of God. He came along and He had mercy on this man. He healed this man. No water, no works, only wonderful grace. The man wanted it.
Amen.
Jesus came to him in a Bible message, not unlike this one. Jesus comes to us through preaching,
amen,
through the Bible.
Amen.
Jesus comes to us and says, wilt thou be made whole?
Oh,
and see, boy, we get so frustrated, don't we? Trying to do it ourselves. Trying to make it work. And we forget, hey, Jesus is the one that's going to fix this. Jesus is the one that saved you, right? Amen? Jesus is the one that saved you. So doesn't it only make sense that He's the one that can fix you?
Yeah, that's right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is the one. The man wanted it. He said, wilt thou be made whole? And I believe He's asking you that today. Of course, Lord. Of course I want to be. But look what He said. No man, He says in verse 7, is here to help me. Jesus is trying to say, look, buddy, you missed the whole point. You missed the whole point. You don't need another man. I'm standing right here in front of you. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the great physician. He's the one who's able to make you whole. You don't need to quit looking for another man to help you. Amen. I'm standing right here in front of you, Jesus said. Rise up. He said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately. What a wonderful picture. The grace of God provided a cleansing. The grace of God provided healing. It was all God's grace. It was Jesus Christ saw that man. That's all He did. He had mercy, took pity, had compassion on that man, and said, wilt thou be made whole? Now, understand something. He took up his bed and he walked, and the Pharisees got upset. It was the Sabbath day. And all of that Jesus was doing on purpose because, listen, he had to go to the cross. He had to make them angry. They had to crucify him. But understand something. He still healed this man. He healed this man. There was nothing other than the wonderful grace of God. What did God have to send that angel down there? Did God have to send that angel down there? Did God have to care about those sick, lame, halt, blind, withered people? Did God have to do that? Listen, did God have to save me? Did God have to have pity on me? Did God have to send Jesus Christ down, amen, and hello, Jesus Christ down from heaven to be the only begotten Son of God, the Lamb of God, which taken away? Did God have to do that? Absolutely not, dearly beloved. But he took mercy. He had pity on me, amen. He saw my need. And then the day that he saved me, the first thing he said was, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Then quit looking for a man. Quit looking for water. Quit looking for you trying to work your own. It's me that you need. It's me that you need. Listen to me. And every day since then, I'm not a perfect man. Every day since then, his power is still available. And I read this book. I get alone with him. And he says, "You want me to fix this for you? You want me to fix this for you? Oh, Lord, yes, I need you to fix this for me." Okay. And then he says, "Rise, take up thy bed." You know, he gives you instruction.
Right.
Are you listening? He gives you instruction.
Amen.
And then he sees, immediately the man was made whole. How did the man was made whole before he got up?
Yeah.
Why? Because it has to do with your heart.
Right. Amen.
Your heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Yeah. But it's still the heart for the rest of your life. If you'll take this word of God and you'll believe what God says, and God knows that you're willing to obey, listen, he'll give you the strength to do it. He'll fix the problem that you have. And you spent so much time looking for man to help you, looking for water, looking for work. Just, and Jesus said, "Look, stop. Just believe me. I'm the one you need. Rise. Take up thy bed and walk." I'm so thankful. See, that God's grace is greater than all my sin.
Amen.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, amen, greater than all my sin. How can my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Amen. That's the wonderful grace of Jesus. We have God Almighty working here, sending down an angel, taking pity, mercy on sin sick, because the wages of sin is that sickness, amen. Sin sick souls, healing them, but demonstrating to us in John chapter, hey, it's not really the water, y'all. It's not your working. It's not even how bad you want it. It's you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you.